Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody, and welcome to the show. This is a very special edition of Melissa and Joey and Block. No, I'm kidding. That's it's the Left of Straight Show, guys, and we're doing a special back from summer hiatus show to kind of get us in the swing of things for our kickoff next week. As y'all know, I've had July and August off. So much stuff going on that we'll talk about mostly. But I wanted to pop in today, say hello to everybody. We're going to talk a little bit about LGBT news and some pop culture and some politics. And then I'm going to play for you a preview of a new show we're going to try to run on Left of Straight. It's a weekly new show called The Brandon Triangle. And we have the pilot episode. They put it together yesterday. Going to play that today. It's only about 23 minutes long. I want you to, we're going to be talking about different things going on in LGBT news, and again, like I said, politics and entertainment, with a panel of people. So I hope you'll listen to that. Give us some feedback. Let us know what kind of tweaks we need to make for it, and we're going to have that back for you up and running regularly very soon as we launch a new season and a new year on Left of Straight Radio. It's going to start next week. We're going to have some slow stuff slowly kind of developing throughout the first month here as we get back in the swing of things. I'm going to be having our flagship Left of Straight show that I host every Monday and Tuesday back on, starting Monday, with all sorts of great celebrity personalities in the fields of entertainment and foodies and books. I got some Food Network star people coming on, some great singers and entertainers, and some movie stars and television stars, and all sorts of fun things happening in just a few short days. Actually, on Monday, we're going to kick off with a great show with one of my favorites, Stan Zimmerman. He is a writer and director of such acclaimed things as Roseanne, The Gilmore Girls, The Golden Girls, the Brady Bunch movies, and so much more. Had a project just blow up this summer. He had put out there on his social media a pilot called Silver Foxes, a show that he wrote on spec about, that's kind of a la Golden Girls, but it's not based on the Golden Girls. It's about four older gay men living together in a community, which is where the comparison ends. But he's going to talk all about that and how crazy that happened this summer, along with all sorts of other stuff, because Stan just has his fingers in so many pots and just such an amazing guy. So he's going to be our kickoff guest on Monday. And bring two first-timers onto the show. Will and Jeff have their own podcast. It's called Big Gay Fiction Podcast. They are writers. They are readers. They talk about LGBT romance novels, and they talk about authors and some pop culture. And they are nominated along with this show for this year's Podcast Awards over at podcastawards.com as Best LGBT Podcast, along with myself and eight others. So I'm going to try to have all the different podcasts on here. They're all great people doing this. So they are my first group coming on, and they will be on Monday after Stan. So I hope you'll tune in 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Be all live with news. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we have that going on. I also want to talk to you about so much stuff going on here at the show. We're going to be doing some new series. We're going to have some special guests. We're going to have new segments of the different shows. We're going to be adding video to the mix within a month or so of the show launching. So we'll have a live streaming available on YouTube and or Facebook. So all sorts of exciting things happening in season three. I'm so honored you've been listening to me for 2 years. I've been nominated the last 2 years for the best LGBT podcast on the Left of Straight. And just to have created so many great friends and listeners throughout the last 2 years. So I'm really looking forward to going to year three here next week and having a lot of fun. So I apologize in advance if I blow up your social media a bit this week, because I want to make sure after 2 months off that everyone realizes we're coming back, what we have going on. So you'll see me on social media a lot, but I appreciate all your confidence you've had in the show and tuning back in. I hope you'll tell all your friends. We are going to be opening up the show a little bit, as you know, mostly for the Left of Straight interview shows. I don't take any callers just because I don't want to honor my guest's time. But I am going to have the chat open every day, and you can message me in our chat room right on Blog Talk Radio. If you go to the link that I put out every day, or go to blogtalkradio.com/leftofstraight. If you scroll down below the pictures that are running, you'll see a chat box that's open. And you can jump in that chat box and ask any questions you have of the show or guests that day. I'm also going to be taking live questions or comments on Twitter and Facebook. So be sure to follow me on Twitter. Twitter and Instagram, it's at Left of Straight. That's LeftofStr and the number 8. So Left of Straight at Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, I pay attention during the show on the Scott Fullerton page. That's my personal page. So go ahead and send me a friend request, and I'll take any input into the show through Messenger, Facebook Messenger on there. We also have the Left of Straight Show Facebook page you can check out, and I hope you will like that and follow us along on there to find out what's happening every week. So those are the ways you're going to be able to contact me. If you want to say hi, tell me what you did over summer vacation, talk about a little bit of the news we're going to talk about for a second, go ahead and give a call. The phone number here to the studio is 347-989-0126. Again, 347-989-0126. Jump in, give us a call. Tell me how your summer went. Tell me what you're excited about, what you're talking about these days, and what's going on out there. But I thought before I did our brand new preview of the Brandon Triangle pilot, I would just jump myself into a little bit of the news that is of interest of me lately. So let's jump. And if you have any comments, like I said, you can go to the chat room. You can message me on Facebook at Scott Fullerton, or go Twitter at Left of Straight and drop me a message. Okay. So let's see. First thing I want to talk about is the news of the day. We have DACA in the news today. If you don't know what DACA is, D-A-C-A, it's an executive order that President Obama put in place during his presidency that let children of undocumented immigrants be able to live out in the open in the U.S. It was a great program, I think. I mean, every program has some flaws, but in order to be part of DACA, you had to register for the program, and you have to re-register every 2 years. When you register, they do a background check on you and a criminal check on you to make sure you've not been in any trouble with the law. You have to be gainfully employed or in school, and then, like I said, re-register every 2 years, and they have 800,000 people that signed up for this program. And I heard a statistic today that they're guesstimating like 75,000 might be LGBT. I think that's a little high. That's going by 12%. If we do a population ratio, we think that number should be a little bit lower, maybe down to about 25,000, but it doesn't matter. 800,000 is a huge amount of children that were through no fault of their own brought here by their parents. And are able to go to school and work and have no fear of deportation back to their country. So Obama put this into a executive order because, of course, Congress was never working with anything he did. And our great President 45 today, who I try not to use his name as little as possible, he had, and it pisses me off so much that he was too chicken to even go in front of the cameras himself. He had his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, go in front of the cameras today and say they are ending the DACA program and giving Congress 6 months to put through a actual law to fix it, or these people are out of the program. What does that mean? Supposedly, they're trying to spin it as if, well, we're going on deportation for criminals first. These guys aren't criminals because they have their background checks, right? So they shouldn't have any worry. But also, these people are all registered. So the government now has all of their addresses and places where they're living. So that's a little scary when you think about it. So they can deport them anytime they wanted to, because they are now illegal immigrants with DACA being done. So crazy stuff. It's been condemned by half the Republicans, but the other half are all for it, roundly criticized by most Democrats. And it's just a bad thing. So I feel for these people. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you got to think of the scenarios. We have these, like I said, children that were either very young when they came to this country, and it's the only country they've known that they can comprehend. They don't remember where they came from. And when this program ends, if Congress doesn't create a law to protect these people, that means they can be sent back to a country they've never been to, if they remember being to. They don't ever remember being there. They don't speak the language in most of the places, and it's just a crazy time. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. And, I mean, if you think of it this way, what if, I hate to do what ifs, but let's do a what if. What if you were undocumented, you came to this country with your 2-year-old little son, Max. So Max is around. Then in a couple of years, you had your daughter, Maxine. The law is still in place. Anyone born in the U.S. is automatically a U.S. citizen. So now you have Max, who is a dreamer, but undocumented, and that could be undocumented, and you have Maxine, who's a U.S. citizen. So you are now going to split this family up. You're going to send the undocumented back home. You're going to send Max back and keep Maxine. How does that work? How does that create a family unit? That's just not what we're made of here, and I'm just frustrated by it. So it's pretty crazy. But one little funny moment of it today, I mean, it's been condemned by Mario Cuomo from New York. The governor from New York says he's going to sue the government over it, which I hope he does. One kind of light moment in it, and it's not really light, but Cher, you guys know I love Cher. She tweeted out that on her Twitter that she's going to provide, that she hopes that if DACA happens and these people get displaced, that she would provide shelter to someone from DACA, and she would hope her celebrity friends would do the same. She got called out by one of her followers, said, "Sure, Cher, I'll believe it when I see it." And typical Cher, if you know how Cher is, and in life in general, said back to this lady, "Then keep your eyes open, bitch." I love me a little Cher. So anyway, that's the big news of the day. Very frustrating, but we'll see what happens as that goes. So what else we have going on? Speaking of Jeff Sessions, like I said, Trump was too chicken to put this statement out himself today. He made his attorney general do it. But Jeff Sessions, as you know, was a senator from Alabama and was appointed to the attorney general's office by Trump. That leaves an open seat in Alabama they have to fill for senator. And guess who was on the ticket who made it through the primary? Good old Judge Roy Moore. And he is considered to be one of the most if he is elected, he'll be one of the most homophobic senators since Jesse Helms. And if you don't know who Jesse Helms is, do your research, kids. LGBT history is a lot to learn about people who've been for and against us. But Roy Moore, if you're not familiar with Judge Roy Moore, he's been removed from his judgeship twice. The first time after they were asked to take the Ten Commandments out of the courtship, which I won't go into the debate on whether that's right or wrong, but he refused to obey the court order on that, and he was removed from office there, then miraculously elected 10 years later again by the people to be back on the judgeship. And that's in 2013. And what was happening around 2013-14 here? Oh, yes, marriage equality became the law of the land, and he ordered all of his judges in the state of Alabama, because he was the head judge, not to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And finally, they overthrew him on that, and he was kicked out of the judgeship again. So now, after those two things, he is running to take over the Senate seat in Alabama. It's a two-man race, I believe, between him and someone else, and I'll talk about it more as we get closer in politics. I mean, it's hard to believe 2 months away is a election in November, actually 2 months exactly from today, I think. So that's something to keep a lid on, because he's not a good guy. I want to talk a little bit. Let's talk about some fun stuff. We have Ellen DeGeneres premiering her show again today, and I love me little Ellen. And I'm talking to, you guys may or may not know, but if you have not heard of Matthew Olson, the shirtless violinist, he was on my show last year, become a very good friend of mine, and I am producing and managing a show with him and Alexander Rodriguez, my good buddy from On the Rocks Radio, called Shirtless and Tipsy, where they're going to do a cabaret act that I'm kind of managing and promoting for them. So it, Matthew has had his second Skype audition to be on the Ellen show. So I think it's very cool. He's going to be on Ellen soon. So I'm so excited about all that. And I'll let you know as that is happening. But Ellen's starting her new season this year. I don't even remember what year she's in now, 15 maybe. It's just crazy. She had an interview with Ryan Seacrest on his radio show and was talking about the starting of the show. And if you don't remember the controversy, when she came out on television on her show, she was like blackballed from a lot of entertainment. She was just a pariah in the entertainment circles. And Warner Brothers took a chance on her to do this daytime talk show, but it was implicitly said she would not talk about the whole gay thing, quote unquote, the gay thing. And she went along with it because she had not worked in a while, and she needed, wanted the job. And of course, we know what happened today. 15 years later, she's loved by everybody, out fully on the show. You can talk about it a lot. It's not hidden at all. But what's really interesting is she was talking, and she said they didn't think anyone would watch a lesbian during the day, so they wanted to keep my sexuality quiet. It wasn't just implied, but it was verbal to her. And then something happened to her finger, and she was in a relationship at the time. I don't remember if this was Anne Hesh or who it was at the time. And I was going to say we did something to take care of my finger, and the powers of be would not let her say we. And she felt horrible because she's been working so hard to be truthful to coming out in her terms and not be ashamed of who she was. So she said it was a very hard start for her for that show. But it's come along so much. She's done so many great things for the community, of course, and so many things for so many great people that have been on the show. So congratulations to Ellen on a new season that starts today. And hopefully we'll get our buddy Matthew Olson, the shirtless violinist, on there very, very soon. Speaking of TV, it's new season time. You know I'm a television fanatic. I'm going to have to improve my my DVR so I can do more than six shows a day, because there's so much good television starting out of the block this fall. And so a lot of fun stuff is happening. Of course, tonight, if you're a horror fan, the next installment of American Horror Stories, 10 o'clock, called Cult, has a great LGBT representation. Sarah Paulson's in the show, Cheyenne Jackson, Colton Haynes, Billy Eichner, Chaz Bono. Just a great LGBT representation, as of course Ryan Murphy is the creator of it, who is also openly gay. So that show premieres tonight at 10 o'clock. I'm going to circle back to that in a couple seconds. But I'm just so excited for LGBT television. It's doing so good right now. I mean, there's happening, Orphan Black, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, How to Get Away with Murder, Empire, Walking Dead, Orange is the New Black, Transparent. Some great representation of LGBT characters on there. Of course, it's never enough, but it's always, it's improving every day. I was shocked. I don't know if you guys have been watching it over the summer, but they've had a summer series called Salvation that's been on. And it's kind of like an asteroids coming to Earth type deal, and what are they going to do about it? And it's a pretty good show, and it has some great characters on it, and it has Charlie Rowe, who was the lead of Red Band Society. And those of you guys might remember a couple years ago when Red Band Society was on, I'm a huge Wilson Cruz fan, and I actually did the Red Band Society recaps for BroadwayWorld.com. I wrote those up every week, and Charlie Rowe was one of the lead actors on that that Wilson Cruz was a part of. So, anyway, this show has been on, and I've been watching it, and this last episode, last Wednesday, was such a great moment because it wasn't a moment, but they have this defense, the Secretary of Defense of the USA, big position, right? Secretary of Defense, been kind of an ass for the whole series and everything, and he gets forced out on this show Wednesday. And so another character is going to see his character to make sure he's doesn't cause problems or whatever. And you see him in his house, packing his house up. And he's having this back and forth the other character. And all of a sudden, a man comes to his front door and says him by name and says something. What do you want to do with such and such? And as the conversation continues between this guy, he says, you know what? Me and my husband just want to get the heck out of Dodge. Leave us alone. Says that. The husband comes out. He introduces him to the brand new Secretary of Defense, and they drive off into the sunset. So it was so cool that it was a non-moment, but you have the Secretary of Defense of the United States openly gay with his husband, living with his husband, and it was just a cool moment because it wasn't a moment. So I don't know. For me, that was kind of exciting. Of course, Will and Grace is returning. The Marvel Universe, you guys know I'm such a comic book geek. If you're not watching Netflix, the Defenders came on a couple weeks ago, new series Defenders. And the Defenders is four Marvel heroes that aren't the typical superheroes in tights, right? There's Daredevil that has a costume. Daredevil is one of them. There's Luke Cage, Unbreakable Man of Steel. But he just doesn't wear a costume. He's just, you can't do anything. He's indestructible. You have the Iron Fist, which is a martial arts whiz that has a powerful right hook. And you have Jessica Jones, which is a private detective, smarmy type chick with super strength. And so they're just regular guys, all in New York, all defending New York. So it's a new series called The Defenders. Each one of them had their own show before this where they introduced the characters. They had a 13-episode arc for each person. So there was a 13-episode arc of Daredevil, actually two seasons of that, so 26 episodes for that, 13-episode of Jessica Jones, 13 of Iron Fist, and 13 of Luke Cage. I recommend you see these shows if you're a comic book geek. And I normally don't watch those. I watch the guys in tights, right? I watch all the main characters, the Spider-Mans, the Captain Americas, the Thors, things like that. But these are great, gritty shows, very gritty on Netflix. And one of the cool things is it's very open with sexuality there. And one of the main characters that goes through all four episodes is this lawyer played by Carrie Ann Moss, who I love as an actress. And first thing out of the gate, when she starts out in Jessica Jones, and she is just, hopefully, her first scene, she's kissing her wife goodbye. And she has a main storyline through Jessica Jones about being a lesbian and her wife. And then she's throughout all the series where it's not really addressed as much. But everything is becoming so matter of fact, which is how I want to see LGBT representation on television. We're still not quite at the point where everyone who plays LGBT are actually LGBT. So that's kind of another sticking point, but it's slowly turning. In just a couple of weeks, oh God, I got to tell you guys a story. In just a couple of weeks, Star Trek Discovery is coming, and it's going to premiere on television. Then it's going to go to a subscription-only CBS platform, which I don't like. I don't like having to subscribe to something to see something. But in the new Star Trek universe, if you have not heard yet, my two of my all-time favorites, Anthony Rapp, who was Mark in the original Rent in the movie. You know, I'm a Rent head. I love that play so much, the musical so much. Anthony Rapp is playing, I believe it's a science officer or a medical officer, and Wilson Cruz is his husband in it. And you know how much I just talked about how much I love Cruz. So they are going to be an openly gay character on the new Star Trek Discovery series coming in 3 short weeks. And guys, you won't believe this. I'm following Anthony Rapp forever. Love this man, right? Since Rent, and following this guy on social media. So he said something the other day on Twitter, and so I just randomly DM'd him and said that, man, congratulations on the new show. Oh, that's what it was, the 20th anniversary. I was watching Alexander show, Alexander Rodriguez, and he was on one of the casts of Adventures in Babysitting. If you didn't see the movie, hilarious movie. Adventures in Babysitting is in its 20th year anniversary. Anthony Rapp was in Adventures in Babysitting. I didn't even know that was him. But he was in that. And so Alexander brought it up on his show. So I was all excited, DM'd him and said, oh my God, I didn't know you were in Adventures in Babysitting. Congratulations on 20 years. And of course you have new Star Trek Discovery. I would love to see you on my Left of Straight show, right? Wouldn't you know, he DM'd me back. He said, I would love to, but with Star Trek is so close as hell, you have to go through Star Trek people. So now I'm jumping through about 8,000 hoops through Star Trek people. I'm talking to actual Star Trek people, guys, to get Anthony Rapp on my show and talk about this stuff. So that's going to be a dream of mine. That's on my vision board for next season, and hopefully I will have him on very soon. So I'm excited about that. Anyway, sidetrack. Sorry about that. I do want to come back, though, real quick. Like I said, American Horror Story tonight. If you don't, I'm in love with Casey Lansdale. Casey Lansdale is a good friend that I made through the radio show. She is a country singer. She's also a horror writer and a beautiful human being inside and out. She's absolutely gorgeous. She is part of a fundraiser tonight for hurricane victims in Houston. It's called Houston Strong Harvey Fundraiser at Dark Delicacies. You can go to it live if you live in the LA area. It's going to be at Dark Delicacies, which is on Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank, California. And they're going to have all these horror stars there and do this auction and give away things and have opportunities to get autographs for $20 with horror fans. And then part of what Casey is doing, she is going to live stream the auction on her Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook, if you haven't liked Casey Lansdale, please do it. Spelled with a K, K-A-S-E-Y, Lansdale, L-A-N-S-D-A-L-E. Go to her page tonight from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. They'll be doing the this fundraiser from all these horror people for the hurricane in Houston, the survivors of Harvey. So I'm so excited for her. She's always done such great things, and I love her to death. So please support her. Go to her Facebook page. Watch this live auction if you don't live in California, where you can bid on some cool horror stuff, starting at $10, I think. In the LA area, go to Burbank, to Dark Delicacies on Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank, and help them out, raise some money. Way to go for the horror people out there. I'm not a huge horror fan. We know our good friend of the show, Tony Guadagnino, who does a lot of our Twitter stuff here. He is a huge horror fan. He goes to these festivals every year, and I'm just excited for them to be doing such great work. So thanks so much for them in taking care of that. So that's very cool. Congratulations to her on that. What else do I have? We're running out of time here. I want to get to this magazine pilot for the Brandon Triangle in just a couple of minutes. I think I covered just about everything. Like I said, I'm honored to be nominated for the second year for the Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com. I'll talk about a little bit about that next week. And I'm excited to come back next week with Stan Zimmerman and Jeff and Will from the Big Gay Fiction Podcast. It's going to be our first show on Monday. Tuesday, I have some great people. I have so many people coming on. I have Josh Sabar is going to come on. He has a new book coming on. I have Josh Orozco, which is one of the most beautiful men on the planet. He is a model that I've been talking to on Facebook. I want to get him on. He's kind of a new age. All of our regular friends and a lot of new ones come to the show. So I'm excited to start a brand new season of Left of Straight show for you. I'm excited to be doing Left of Straight Radio, where we're going to have new things. Like, we're going to have a daily newscast. We're going to have this weekly show, hopefully with Brandon, called the Brandon Triangle. And if you think you would like to be on the radio, I'm looking for people who want to put together their own radio show. If you have time to put together, to have a half hour show, or an hour show once a week, I want you to contact me. We can make it work. I would love to have you on the air. If you think you have a voice that needs to be, or want to talk about something, I would love to help you produce your own radio show. And it is very, very simple to do. There's really not much cost to it at all, zero to start with. And I would love to see you be part of the Left of Straight Radio team. So if you are interested in that, drop me a note. We're creating the leftofstraightradio.com. My website is being completed. It'll be up Monday when we launch. But you can email me, scott@leftofstraightradio.com. That's leftofstr and the number 8, radio.com. Email me your idea for a show, and I'll get back to you. We're gonna flesh it out and try to make it happen. Because I'm going to try to get a bunch of fun new content for us this year. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's about it. I hope you guys had a fantastic summer. I had a very busy summer off doing a lot of things. And actually, I was ill a lot of the summer. We'll talk about that a little more. But I just want to thanks for coming on. I haven't been on the radio in a while now. I think I had one show during hiatus, and I'm on every Saturday with our great allies, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo. They do the mental health awareness show, Voices for Change 2.0. I have been doing that every Saturday all summer, but I haven't been doing any of my shows. So it's kind of fun to get back on the radio again. And with that, I'm going to present to you here. This is, it's called The Brandon Triangle. Brandon Carmody is a friend of the show for the last couple years. He recorded a pilot yesterday. His goal is to have a weekly news magazine show right here on Left of Straight Radio. It'll be a panel show with friends of his talking about news, politics, and entertainment of interest to our LGBT community and allies. So I'm really excited. We're going to be fleshing the show out a bit. Please do me a favor. It's only 23 minutes. Take a listen. Leave on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, or at scott@leftofstraightradio.com. Send me a quick email on what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see in a weekly news magazine show. So with that, I give to you the Brandon Triangle. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you on Monday. And again, you're going to see me all over social media all week long. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Brandon Triangle on the Left of Straight Radio Network, a safe space for LGBTQ guests, listeners, and allies to come in and share in the conversation as we bring you the latest in news, politics, entertainment, and stories from the community in the United States and around the world. And now, without further ado, the Brandon Triangle bringing you all points of view.
And happy Labor Day, everybody. Today is September the 4th, 2017. I'm Brandon Carmody. You're listening to the Brandon Triangle. And today we're here talking with special guest Robbie Howell. Robbie is an LGBTQI rights human activist. Robbie, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Brandon.
So yeah, great to talk to you, Robbie. So I think a great place to start before we delve into the great catechisms of politics and all things LGBTQI is to start with a basic check-in. So today is Labor Day. There's also a lot going on. So let's start there. Robbie, how are you today?
I am really well. I'm just gotten back from the dog park. I'm burning up. I cannot wait for fall and winter to get here.
That's
how are you?
Great. It has been extremely hot here in Portland, Oregon. We're all sweltering, but we're also very empathetic and feeling for the people in Texas and Louisiana. So, you know, I guess I've got no complaints. I am doing a birthday thing later with my family, so today is a good day.
Excellent. Yeah, I live in Charlotte, as you know, but I'm in Lexington, Kentucky right now, which is where I'm from. I'm at my mother's house, and I'll be driving back to Charlotte tomorrow.
Excellent. Well, I want to ask you about that. So I have a piece here from the Charlotte Observer titled, Charlotte's Largest Annual Parade is Now the Gay-Themed Charlotte Pride. So, again, I'm quoting from the Observer, Charlotte Pride has officially become the city's largest annual pride with 152 entrants, 4,500 marchers registered to show up. So is this the past event? This has already occurred. Is that right, Robbie? Or is this forthcoming?
This was last weekend, and I'm a volunteer for Charlotte Pride, and I survived. It was a Herculean task. This is my first year involved with the organization, and last year I was a marcher and an attendee, and last year we broke attendance records with over 130,000 people.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to participate as much this year because it was literally, from like 5:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night, going nonstop. But yeah, I sort of going into this in my heart, I really wanted us to cross that 150,000 attendee threshold, and we did, and it's so exciting. And it's in the area, in the region, I think Charlotte Pride, there's a fairly good sense of what Charlotte Pride is, but outside of our region, including, the remoter parts of the state, I'm not sure people really understand what an extraordinary and extraordinarily large event this is. I couldn't be more pleased with how things turned out and to see, it was just a great vibe. Everyone was having fun. People brought their families. It was very rewarding.
Yeah.
Being there.
And there's news reports that I'm picking up here on the web that said, over 100,000 people celebrate Pride without issues. Do you agree with that, that it was all a positive event without issues or major issues?
Zero major issues that I am aware of. I did see a few tiny number of protesters here and there, but they were very few in number, and they were immediately drowned out by the crowds, who just were not about to have any part of that negativity interfere with their fun. It was also fairly well publicized that the Gays for Trump application to march in the parade. Let me take a little step backwards. It's a 2-day event, and on Saturday it's a very big festival. And Sunday is when we actually have the parade. And the Gays for Trump organization had applied to be a part of the parade. And I'm very proud of the fact that the Charlotte Pride Board denied them that privilege. But a few of them did show up anyhow. From where I was stationed in my tent, I could sort of, it was, I don't know, maybe 15 yards away, I could see a few of the people with that group. But again, they were immediately surrounded by others who, no one was aggressive or especially mean. I think it did get a little heated here and there, but mostly those negative voices were drowned out. And I think 15 minutes after I first noticed them, I looked back over and they were gone.
Yeah, I've got a quote here. This is from Fox 46. I think that's your local Fox affiliate. Fox 46 mm-hmm. and the Charlotte Observer estimated there to be a dozen protesters at the deplorable Pride counter-protest, possibly a baker's dozen, bringing the total number to 13. And their quote from one of them was, banning voices is un-American. Charlotte Pride claims to be inclusive, but they're excluding us because of our political beliefs. So is this a controversial move for the committee to ban them because they're making policy that delves into politics, or are they choosing this for safety? What do you think?
I think they're choosing it to be inclusive. Well, I know this to be true. The choice was made to be inclusive of the entirety of the LGBTQ community, emphasis on the T, because the Gays for Trump organization have been very outspoken in their opposition to trans people. And that's just not part of our community in Charlotte. We embrace all queer people of any stripe. That's part of the culture that exists here. I've lived in Charlotte since 1998. And even though I wasn't involved in the decision-making, I'm certain that was the thrust of it. There might have been some other issues involving security, but I don't think that
yes.
was the impetus. I think it was more about, exactly. Why would we be
doubting
our brothers and sisters? Yeah.
Well, and so unfortunately, not pivoting, but following in on that topic. So the Trump administration has proposed, a transgender military ban. I want to read you. So a federal lawsuit was filed in Baltimore by the American Civil Liberties Union in Maryland. So this was 1 week ago. This would have been Monday the 28th. There was also
right.
a suit filed by Lambda Legal. So we're going to play a clip here. This is from Matt DeSantos, the legal director for ACLU Oregon, day before the suit. So I'm going to play you this clip and get your reaction on the other side.
Thank you, Basic Rights Oregon, and thank you all for coming here today to stand with transgender service members and veterans. Today, I'm especially grateful to Lyles and Oni and all the other transgender service members and veterans here in Oregon and across the country. Thank you for your service and your courage, both in and out of uniform. We owe our freedoms to you, and you deserve better than this. Friday was a particularly painful day in this never-ending string of bad days since President Trump took office. President Trump's pardon of Joe Arpaio and his memo banning transgender service members and veterans from serving and accessing health care share a common thread. President Trump has no respect for us, and President Trump has no respect for our courts. While we at the ACLU cannot teach President Trump civility or respect, we can and will continue to teach him about the Constitution. Tomorrow, we will file a lawsuit in federal district court challenging President Trump's cruel, discriminatory, and unconstitutional policy. Like so many of his other failed attempts to discriminate, this policy isn't just bad, it's deadly. Denying transgender service members medically necessary health care puts the lives of our courageous service members in danger. Banning their service after so many courageously came out last year is divisive and hurts our military. This isn't right, and it isn't legal. We've said it before, and we'll say it again. President Trump, when you come for the most vulnerable communities, the ACLU will come for you. See you in court.
And we're back live now. And as we all know, the ACLU did follow through with filing that lawsuit on the next day. So, Robbie, you work with the Charlotte chapter of the North Carolina ACLU and immigrant rights. What can you tell us, if anything, about the work that you're seeing the ACLU do to fight the president's order to ban transgender military members, and how big of an issue or story is this?
In my small role in this particular team in Charlotte, the immigrant rights team, I really can't offer any perspective from the ACLU at all.
How about as an LGBTQI person watching this unfold against, you know, as an assault on the T in our community?
Oh. It's absolutely shameful. It's a red herring. The part of this process, if I'm remembering this correctly, is that Pentagon was going to order another military readiness study regarding transgender troops by the same company, the RAND Corporation, that did the first study that found that there would be no significant impact on having transgender personnel in the military. And I just happened to have this little factoid in my head because I was researching it recently. In 1998, was that almost 20 years ago, that's when Israel knowingly allowed transgender troops to serve in the Israeli military. And I think very few people on this planet would argue that the Israeli army is one of the most potent fighting forces on the planet. So, you know, it's really, you always try to think, what is really behind this decision? But I think this is a case where a lot of us are trying to find logic where none exists. I'm going to use the phrase red herring again. I think this is a distraction. I think this is our president preying on a marginalized segment of our community. It appeals to his base, which seems to be his full-time job more than anything else. I think it's disgraceful. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the HRC agrees with you. I just want to we're running down to a five-minute time frame, so I'm going to jump in here. So I'm quoting from the HRC recent release. Today, HRC strongly condemned a White House directive that interferes in the Department of Defense personnel policy by pushing for President Trump and Vice President Pence's transgender military ban. HRC called on Secretary of Defense James Mattis to protect transgender service members from the vicious political assault. And by the way, the title of their article by Stephen Peters is Trump and Pence Force Their Hate and Discrimination Onto the Military with the Transgender Ban. So their HRC is calling it hate and discrimination. This is absolutely black and white as far as how they view it. I tend to agree, but the Trump administration has said that this is about a combat readiness. I just want to ask if you feel that there's any validity to that, or does that fall under your red herring category, that that's a distraction?
It's made up. The RAND Corporation determined, I wish I could tell you the year that the original study was completed, but they found that there would be no impact on military readiness by allowing transgender troops to serve openly. And I think we need to really underscore that word too, because before President Obama, I can't remember if it was by way of executive order or how he accomplished it, but when he allowed transgender people to serve openly, you know, who are we kidding? There were plenty of transgender troops already serving.
Of course.
They just weren't able to serve openly.
Openly.
And
yeah.
If this ban actually does somehow go into effect, we're still going to have transgender troops in our military. They're just going to be living under, you know, that constant fear of what might happen to them.
I found a quote from the study, Robbie. I'm just giving the highlights here. If the U.S. military decides to let transgender people serve openly, the number would likely be a small fraction of the total force and have minimal impact on the readiness and healthcare costs, according to a new RAND Corporation study. The date on this is June 2016, so just barely over a year old. Of course, it details in here a lot of their guidelines. Make sure that there is strong leadership support. Develop an explicit written policy on all S gender transition process. Provide education and training to the rest of the force on transgender personnel policy, but integrate this with other diversity-related training education. So this is a well-done study that basically is in complete contrast to the Trump administration. So it goes without saying that all of our LGBTQ orgs are going to fight this with every legal means available.
Absolutely.
Do members of the community that you know personally, do people speak with you about this? Are they feeling like they're under assault during this era, Robbie?
I am in the unique position of being married to a clinical psychologist who works at a VA hospital. And my husband is the LGBTQ liaison for this hospital. So there is a lot of confusion. There is a lot of worry. Now keep in mind, this is a VA facility, these aren't active members of the military. These are veterans. What he tells me is the stress is greater actually among the staff, just wondering, you know, what sort of mental health issues will the duress of such a ban cause. So, yeah, I've got a little bit of an inside scoop. Again, not on active military personnel, but on vets. And there's anxiety all around. People aren't freaking out. It's just there's too many question marks. You know, who knows what tomorrow is going to bring? The president is so mercurial and capricious in everything that he does. You know, everyone is left off balance. What will tomorrow bring?
Of course. So I do want to ask, we're just at about 3 minutes, 40 seconds of airtime remaining. So, Robbie, I want to ask you about other work that you're doing. I know that you're involved with your church and doing a lot of social justice work, very involved in the LGBTQ community. in 3 minutes or less, can you tell us about some of your goals and some of the work that you're doing and what you would like to see happen that you'll play a role in?
Yeah, I would be happy to. To be perfectly blunt, I'm sort of a Johnny-come-lately when it comes to my involvement in my local LGBTQ community. I say that with a certain amount of embarrassment. What largely got me motivated was what happened on November 9th. And I realized, well, I have to do something. I can't, if for no other reason, for my own mental health, I have to become involved with something. The most obvious avenue was something related to giving back to the queer community. So I started exploring all the various organizations within Charlotte, and my involvement with my church on our social justice committee gave me a perfect venue for me to become aware of the many groups that are available in Charlotte. So as I've already mentioned to you, I have aligned myself with the Charlotte Pride organization as a volunteer. And I've also just recently started volunteering for our queer youth center, which is Time Out Youth. They recently were able to purchase their new permanent home, which luckily is about 4 minutes away from my home. And
excellent.
So it is excellent. The kids are so much fun. The new space is incredible. Even when I'm dog tired and I really don't feel like getting up off the couch and going, I always end up leaving there energized and feeling wonderful. It's a very rewarding experience. But all of this sort of comes down to my personal belief when it comes to achieving full civil equality for LGBTQ people is coalition building and reaching out to other groups. And so I'm sort of in that process right now. I have a whole host of other organizations with whom I'm hoping to, work with them directly, at least reach out and start building those connections. Because I really think everything happens locally and pushes outward.
There's 30 seconds remaining, and it's a computer timer, so I don't want to cut you off. Robbie, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. That you're doing is vital for the community. I appreciate you, brother, and we will speak again.
I've had a great time, Brendan. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Robbie.